Hello, this is Beverly Tomasian. Welcome to our Diabetes Mini-Series, Course 2. This is the first quarter of a course that we had to divide in half because of technical difficulties. So after you complete this course, you can click on the link on the next slide to start the second half of this program. We appreciate you joining us, and this is our topics for today. We're going to be talking about prevention of diabetes and lifestyle interventions. And then we're going to spend some time dialoguing about why it's worth the work, why our patients should control their diabetes and their cholesterol and their hypertension. It's a lot of work, but it does matter, and we'll talk about the studies that demonstrate that. We'll also discuss national goals as laid forth by the American Diabetes Association, and also we'll discuss the AACE goals, and we'll talk about strategies to get to target. To download the slides for this webcast, all you need to go to our website, diabetesed.net, and then you go to mini-series online course, and at the bottom of the mini-series tab, you'll see your diabetes mini-series resource page. And on that page, we have listed the handouts and other resources that will be useful for you regarding this presentation. Let's talk a little bit about complications. Why do patients with diabetes get complications, and what can we do to prevent them? But first, I'd like to say something, is that this is not a true statement. People with diabetes get complications. The correct way of saying this is that people with uncontrolled diabetes are at higher risk for complications. And I think that's an important differentiator to make with our patients. Just because you have diabetes doesn't mean you're going to get complications. It's when the diabetes is not well controlled that you run the risk of getting the micro and macrovascular disease associated with diabetes. So what puts people at more or less risk of getting complications? Well, the first thing are the genes. So we have to kind of look at the family history and see, is a family have a risk of cardiovascular disease, heart attacks, strokes? Do they have diabetes? What is their life expectancy in that family? So the genes are a very strong indicator of risk of complications. I've had many patients with type 1 or type 2 diabetes who've been running higher than target range blood sugars for many years. They may not get complications, and yet I have some patients who their blood sugars might be a little bit better, but they get the complications. So the genetic risk is a very important influencing factor. But in general, it is true that the higher your blood sugars run, and if they're running high in the glucose toxicity range especially, and you may ask me, what does that mean, glucose toxicity? I would say it's generally speaking blood sugars running 300 to 500 for a period of time. When you're glucose toxic, your little pancreas just shuts off and it's not able to make enough insulin. This glucose toxicity, if it lasts for a long time, it increases the risk of complications. Acute complications like diabetic ketoacidosis and hyperglycemic hyperosmolar crisis, but also it can increase the risk for heart attack, stroke, eye, kidney, and nerve disease. The other things that influence and increase or decrease the risk of complications are other risk factors like smoking, lack of exercise, existing vascular disease, what are the lipids running, and what is the blood pressure. So in the risk factors relating to complications for diabetes, we need to consider all of these. And here is a slide that outlines the risk of diabetes complications. And I always ask my patients in my diabetes classes, I say, what do you think is a leading cause of complications with diabetes? Or what is the most common diabetes complication? And many times patients will say to me, oh, it's, you know, amputation, kidney disease, blindness. But those are less common. The most common complication associated with diabetes is heart disease. Heart disease, heart attack, stroke is a leading cause of death for people with diabetes. And you can see that just having diabetes double to quadruples your risk of death from heart disease and stroke. So the thing about diabetes and complications, that I want to share with you is that there was a national survey done this year and the results are in. And the good news is complication rates are on the, they're dropping, especially cardiovascular complication rates and amputation rates. So we're seeing some profound results from all the hard work we've been doing in trying to help patients decrease their chance of complications. So that's really good news. But the problem is, on the other end, more and more people are getting diabetes. So the more we have with diabetes, those complication rates have a hard time declining. So control matters. When I meet with my patients with diabetes, you know, I impress upon them, it's not the diabetes that causes complications. It's uncontrolled diabetes that causes complications. And that's a statement that Dr. Bill Polansky often makes in his conferences. So if you've listened to Dr. Polansky, he says that a lot because I think people with diabetes need encouragement that it does matter. Controlling your diabetes is worth the work. And we have trials, clinical trials, and sound evidence that support that. So let's just meet a patient. And as a healthcare professional, many times people ask me questions about diabetes, about nutrition, all kinds of questions. And I'm sure as healthcare professionals listening in, you could ask questions too. So let's just imagine we're going to see our financial advisor. And you meet him, he's in his mid-30s, he's friendly, and he smiles to greet you. And you notice his gums are inflamed. You guess he has a BMI of 26 or so with most of the extra weight in the waist area. He does tell you that his parents have diabetes, and maybe one of his parents has diabetes, and he knows he's at risk. And he asks you, what can I do to reduce my risk of getting diabetes? So the first question you might ask is, why does she even talk about his gums? And as it turns out, oral health is very important as far as reflecting not only inflammation in the mouth, but inflammation throughout the rest of the body too. And so the first thing I look at when I meet with patients, or one of the first things, is I'm going to take a look at their gums and their mouth health, because that's going to tell me a lot about their dental hygiene practices. And also, when people do have hyperglycemia, many times they have gingivitis or gum disease. And also, gingivitis is associated with hyperglycemia. So we think about periodontal disease as a sixth complication of diabetes. You hear about eye, kidney, nerve disease, heart disease, and lower extremity problems. But really, oral health is super important too. And the issue here is, if you have inflammation in your mouth, those are actually anaerobic bacteria that are causing it. So the inflammation is associated with gingivitis and sometimes more severe problems with mouth disease, like periodontal disease, that can affect the periodontal ligaments and the bone and the other connective tissue. So these anaerobic bacteria living in our mouth need to be taken care of, because they can accumulate and cause a lot of inflammation. And that inflammation isn't only happening in the mouth. That inflammation then is transferred over to the blood vessels also. There's major stages associated with periodontal disease, and the first stage is gingivitis, and that's just simple inflammation of the gums. If that isn't treated and the patient isn't doing good oral care, flossing, seeing the dentist, it can continue on to periodontitis, which is more severe inflammation and can actually affect the ligaments and bones that support the teeth. Now, here's a picture of gingivitis, and you may say, wow, that mouth looks pretty good to me, and it does look pretty good, but you can start to see where the teeth and the gums intersect here, that there's inflammation right at the edge of the gums. That red inflammation is a sign of accumulation of those anaerobic bacteria. They're starting to cause inflammation of the gums, and that can actually lead to be associated with hyperglycemia. So gingivitis can cause hyperglycemia, and hyperglycemia can be caused by gingivitis. So they have this interrelationship, and you'll see that with patients. And I've seen patients who really improve their gum health. It can be associated with, you know, some improvement in their blood sugar control. And also, I heard some studies on on the news that we're seeing people who floss their teeth every day live longer. Why do they live longer? Well, if you get rid of those bacteria by flossing and brushing, they don't enter your bloodstream, because once those bacteria enter your bloodstream, they can get caught up in your coronary artery blood vessels and cause clots. So we're going to talk about some strategies to have the best dental health, but certainly we want to prevent gingivitis and promote the best mouth care possible.